Star signs. Luna sits on the bed, taller than last summer, tan legs dangling over the edge. "You're a scorpion like me," she says, when I tell her my birthday. "That's right," I say. At school in Oaxaca, she has a nemesis named Oasis, pronounced Oasis. She tells me about it, bouncing up and down on the worn mattress. "Before they were enemies," she says, "they were best friends." "Maybe you'll be friends again one day," I suggest, but she shakes her head. "I don't think so." She tells me about her other friends, Sophia, Lucia. "I'm popular," Luna explains, and with a flush, I remember what those first loves felt like, all those girls I knew by heart and wanted so badly to impress. The pair of black patent leather sneakers my mother bought, which squeaked when I walked and which I was too shy to wear, until one day I got up the nerve, and Kelsey Tucker, the most popular girl in fifth grade, said, "Cool sneakers," and suddenly I was in. By middle school, it was all over. I was too nerdy, too desperate for attention from my teachers. My mother bought my clothes one size too big so I would always be comfortable, and when I ran into my old friends in the bathroom, sucking in their stomachs to get their pants zipped up all the way, I was embarrassed. I still wore jeans from Limited 2 that sagged in the butt and t-shirts that announced all the tourist destinations my father had taken us the previous summer. "Niagara Falls," said one. "Luray Caverns," said another. The other girls didn't wear t-shirts anymore. They wore halters, so you could see their bras. They liked being looked at. Didn't they know boys would hurt them, I wondered. Didn't they know that boys thought awful thoughts? I knew it without being told, and wore big sweaters so they wouldn't look at my chest. Luna kicks at the bed. "Are you listening?" she says, and I tune back into a story about a beach trip with her friends and the boys she hates. When I mention my own boyfriend, her face twists and her blue eyes go steely. "Who is he?" she asks, barely veiling her jealousy. "You'd like him," I say, but it's clear she's already made up her mind. "I'll be 13 in November," she says, eager to change the subject. "Maybe you can come for my birthday party." I imagine boarding a plane, cruising south over sun-drenched hills, red flowers dotting the valley, Luna in a blue dress. "That would be nice," I say. Through the window behind her, the lake glimmers. Rows of apple trees on the opposite shore glow in the light. I don't ask her if she remembers the move to Mexico, the day her mother boarded the plane and flew her away from her father. In the few months each summer he has custody, I don't blame him for trying to win her over, giving her the biggest bedroom in the house, building her a pool in the middle of the orchard, buying her whatever she wants. Though her eyes are set wide in her face, and mine are close together, though she is small for 12 and I was tall, we look alike. We have the same broad nose and blue eyes, as if we were burned by the same star when we were born. I take a photo of her standing in the bedroom with the pink wallpaper. The lake ripples like a silver backdrop, the kind they drape behind you for a school photo. Later, we play Scrabble against the adults. She and I are a team, and when we lose, she flips the board and storms out of the room. "Who does that remind you of?" my father says and laughs. I find her by the water sulking, and in an attempt to cheer her up, find myself making promises I know I can't keep. "I'll come visit for your birthday," I say. "I'll write you every month." But when I fly back to Los Angeles, I forget to write. Life tumbles in. It's September when the earthquake hits Oaxaca. My phone buzzes in the silent room. My heart jolts when I see the headline. "Biggest earthquake in a century," it says. I text everyone I can think of, then move through my apartment as if I'm the one darkness has settled down on, waiting to hear that Luna is safe. An hour passes, then another. What is it like, I wonder, when that first bolt breaks loose off the coast? What does she think when the earth doesn't stop but keeps buckling beneath her, and she wakes inside the full force of that rift, so sudden, so deep, and does she know, though she is only a day older, how from then on everything will be different?